Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the Trust, our Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the Trust, on Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 19, 2017, August Shishlu 2, 2021. We will start our second service on this day with a song entitled, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, Has Saved a Wretch Like Me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but I see as grace that taught my heart to fear and break my sin. Transgression of the Law, Part 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, it says, the first verse, then said Solomon, that Yahweh has said that he would dwell in a thick darkness. But I have built an house of the habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever. Now remember we talked about this here, the throne of David established forever, and that we represent the throne of David today, and Yahshua is very much here in the person, as the king sitting upon the throne of David, invisible king, as Ethiopia said, but his servant is the visible king. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 3. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. And all the congregation of Israel stood, and he said, blessed be the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house, and that in that my name might be there, neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. That's true. The children of Israel came to Samuel one day, their prophet. They said, you're getting old and you've got two sons that are to be your successor, but they're not worthy to be your successor because they're evil. So therefore, we want a king to rule over us like the nations around us. And Samuel went to Yahweh and about it, and Yahweh said, they haven't rejected you, they rejected me from being king over them. Well, who was Samuel talking to? He was talking to Yahshua. Samuel went to Yahshua because he's the king of Israel, the invisible king. And he has been ever since the Garden of Eden. Yahshua became the invisible king of this world when Adam and Eve sinned, the day that they sinned. He became prophet, priest, and king that day of this world. And so Samuel, he went to Yahshua. He said, they have not rejected you, they rejected me. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there. Okay, now this Jerusalem, the correct spelling for Jerusalem is Y-H-U-S-A-L-A-M. That's Jerusalem. Y-A-H-U-R-A-H-U-R-U-S-A-L-M. Jerusalem. Okay, so that's actually the Father's name. Let's back up a little bit. This be Samuel is addressing the Father. He's saying, they want a king. He said, they haven't rejected you, they rejected me. They rejected the Father. Because here we have the Father's name is in the city of David. It's what they named the city of David after, Salem. And they named it after Yahu's name, Yahweh's name, Y-A-H-U. So he says, this is Yahweh talking to Solomon here. He's telling about, they haven't rejected you, they rejected my people. But I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. When Yahweh rejected King Saul, and Samuel went and told King Saul, Yahweh has rejected you, he's chosen your neighbor that's better than you, and that neighbor's already been anointed, and been promised to be the next king of Israel. King Saul, the first king of Israel, was the people's choice. King David, the second king of Israel, was the Yahweh's choice. So it says, now it was in the heart of David, I'm in verse 7, 3 Chronicles 6. My father, to build a house for the name of the Yahweh Elohim of the Israel. But the Yahweh said unto David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build a house, but thy son which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build a house for my name. For Yahweh therefore hath performed his word that he hath spoken, for I am risen up in the room of the David, my father, and am set on the throne of the Israel, as the Yahweh promised, and have built the house for the name of the Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. And in it have I put the ark written, or wherein is the covenant of the Yahweh that he made with the children of Israel. Now, ark is in that place today in heaven. It's in that sanctuary in heaven today. And one of these days, that sanctuary is coming back down again. You see, we have the prophecy right there in Revelation chapter 5. Where it come down in Revelation chapter 4, that ark is still in heaven. But in Revelation chapter 5, that ark has come down to this earth. Where is it at? It's placed in the house of David. And the fact that we are here with the restored creation calendar time for putting this sanctuary back in operation and on full schedule again shows that this ark has come back down from heaven. Because all the laws contained in that book by the law of Moses in the side pockets of that ark is what we are going by today, the information in that book of the law. That's what we're going by. That's what the information left there for the restoration of this sanctuary. So when Brother Johnson got that information in 1970, how to restore the sanctuary according to true time, and Yahweh taught him and gave him the instrument creation calendar, for the restoring of the spiritual tabernacle of David that had fallen down. Well, then that was a sign that that ark And that temple in heaven has come back to earth. And all the information in that book of the law of Moses in the side pocket of that ark was opened up under Brother W. Johnson. And Brother Johnson had a 33-year swing at it to prove that he was worthy to be the progenitor of the righteous line to bring forth 144,000. He had 33 years to prove himself, and he failed miserably. And it was through his own fault that he did it. He has no one else to blame but himself. And so I stand here in awe of the situation, how Yahweh, he doesn't vary. He doesn't deviate from his original word. He says something in the beginning that stands forever. And that's why we're here today, upholding this Ark of the Covenant and those laws that's found written in the side part of the Ark, because Deuteronomy 31 said it was put there for a reason, for the latter days. And I'll read that to you in just a little bit. And he said, in verse 12 of chapter 6, and he stood before the altar of Yahweh in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hand. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of the 5 cubits long, and 5 cubits broad, and 3 cubits high, and had seated in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood, and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and said, O Yahweh Elohim of the Israel, there is no Elohim like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant, and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Okay, so this is where we're at today. Thou hast, that which hast kept with thy servant David my father, that which thou hast promised him, and speakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Yahweh Elohim of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight that sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed unto their way to walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Yahweh Elohim of Israel, let thy word be verified which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. For the Elohim in very deed dwell with the men on the earth. Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. Have respect therefore unto the prayer of thy servant and unto his supplication, O Yahweh, my Elohim, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prays before thee, that thine eyes may be opened upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayeth toward this place. Hearken therefore unto the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from the heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. If a man sin against his neighbor, there's that word sin, and an oath be laid upon him to make him swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants by requiting the wicked, by recompensing his way upon his own head, and by justifying the righteous, by giving him according unto his righteousness. What's going on in the world today, in the wicked world of Voodooism? You've got all evilness now has been brought to the light, and all the evil, wicked people that have been sitting in the driver's seat for a long time, they are being brought to their knees. They're being brought to their career's end. All the rich and the poor alike, no matter if they entered into evil, conspiracy against their fellow man and against each other and against their own bodies, that they defile everything that they could touch, they're being brought to the light. And it's costing them dearly. Verse 24, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, "And if thy people Israel be put to the worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name and pray and make supplication before thee in this house." Now, that's what we're doing today. We have returned to make supplication in this house of Yahweh, the house of David. For what? Let's read about it. "Then hear thou from the heaven and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which thou gavest unto them and to their fathers." This is where we're at today, folks. When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, and because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants. And what's the name of our series? Sin is a transgression of the law. "And of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, when thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be a dearth in the land, if there be patience or pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locusts or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house." Verse 30. "Then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, so long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Moreover, concern the stranger which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country, for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from the heaven, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them out before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land where they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart, with all their soul, in the land of their captivity, where they have carried them captives, and pray toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee." Okay, here's that word send again. Send, sends, and send, and sinner, and sinners. Now, my Elohim, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attended unto the prayer that is laid in this place. Now therefore arise, O Yahweh Elohim, unto thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Yahweh Elohim, be clothed with salvation. Let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Yahweh Elohim, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. Okay, that's the end of 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And now let's go see what else we need to deal with to pertain to this word sin. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Yahweh filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Yahweh because the glory of the Yahweh had filled the Yahweh's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Yahweh upon the house, they bowed themselves with their face unto the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Yahweh, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Yahweh. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king of all the people dedicated the house of the Yahweh. And the priests waited on their offices. For the Levite also with the instruments of music of the Yahweh, which David the king had made to praise the Yahweh, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of Yahweh, for there he offered burnt offering, and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings, and the meat offerings, and the fat. Also at the same time Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering end of the Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month he sent the people away and to their tents glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Yahweh has showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. So they kept, for 14 days they kept this feast. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Yahweh and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Yahweh. And in his own house he prosperously affected. And the Yahweh appeared unto Solomon by the night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I sent pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from the heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What's going on today in the United States? This land is being healed. It's been cleaned out of all the scum and the riffraff. It's just starting to be cleaned out. This land is being healed. The great land of America. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as that David thy father walked and do according unto all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgment, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted it with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. Okay, so today we are proof of that. He has chosen antitypical Elijah David to be this last visible king to sit upon the throne of David. Because Yahshua is the first and the last visible king of Israel ever. And he is also reigning contemporaneously with this servant David, showing that this is the last, this is the end of Israel. As far as being having wheat and tares growing together, this is the end. Once the tares are cleaned out this time, there will be no more defilement in the house of Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And that's what's happened to the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. The Division Seventh-day Adventists, Carmel and Gilead, they're all a byword today. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment unto everyone that passes by. You see that? This house which is high, H-I-G-H, so shall be an astonishment unto everyone that passes by, so that he shall say, why hath Yahweh done this thus unto this land and unto this house? This house, what are we talking about? This is personal specific. This means, it's a pronoun. It means personal specific. It's talking about one particular house. And in this prophecy for now, it's talking about the Seventh-day Adventist house, which Gilead Center was a part of. Verse 22, and it shall be answered, because they forsook the Yahweh Elohim of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them, therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. And we know the last test of the last king of Israel, in our day, I'm talking about the last king that sat upon the throne of David, in the sinful kingdom, Brother Stevie Johnson, we know that this was their last severe test that was given him before the fall of Gilead Center, and that was, he was presented with a book entitled Fossilized Customs. Lou White, the author of it, did a good job on pointing out the idolatry and the pagan practices that are found in modern-day Babylon today, and that was number one he pointed out as being the birthday celebration. The number one pagan, heathen, idolatrous practice that you could ever, ever invent and create your own god with, because it makes you a king for a day. Anytime you celebrate your birthday, you are honored as a king for the day, or queen. In other words, you're somebody. One day out of the year, you become somebody important. Everybody's paying attention to you. Everybody's bringing gifts to you. Everybody's celebrating your birthday that knows you, that are invited. They bring gifts and they bring cakes, the birthday cakes, and they bring all kinds of stuff. And they're well wishers, and you make wishes, and the imps of Satan are there to grant you your wish, and so forth. And so that's what was presented to the last king. Sitting upon the last king to sit upon the throne of Israel, period. Because that was the Adventist Church, and they represented the 12 tribes of Israel. So Brother Johnson, the king of Edom, and Edom was another name given for the Adventist, and Esau was the king of Edom, and Brother Johnson was antitypical Esau, so therefore he sit upon the throne of Israel. Not only the throne of David, but he is the throne of the 10 tribes too. And so therefore it said that that's the end now of chapter 7, 3 Chronicles. And it said there in chapter, let's see where we go from there.
Okay, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 8. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, wherein Solomon had built the house of Yahweh and his own house, that the cities which Huram had restored to Solomon, Solomon built them and caused the children of Israel to dwell there. And Solomon went to Hamath Zobah and prevailed against it. And he built Tadmor in the wilderness and all the store cities which he built in Hamath. Also he built Beth Horon, the upper, and Beth Horon, the nether, fenced cities with walls, gates, and bars. And Baalath, and all the store cities that Solomon had, and all the chariot cities, and the cities of the horsemen, and all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, and in Lebanon, and throughout all the land of his dominion. As for all the people that were left of the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which were not of the Israel, but of their children, who were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel consumed not, them did Solomon make to pay tribute until this day. That the children of Israel did Solomon make no servants for his work, but they were men of war, and chief of his captains, and captains of his chariots and horsemen. And these were the chief of the king Solomon's officers, even 250, that bear rule over the people. And Solomon brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David unto the house that he had built for her. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy, whereunto the ark of Yahweh hath come. Now, isn't this amazing? Because he married a pagan heathen woman from Pharaoh, she could not live in any of the houses. I mean, Solomon married a woman. She couldn't dwell and live in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy, whereunto the ark of Yahweh hath come. Wherever the ark comes, of Yahweh, that place is holy. Now the ark of Yahweh has come here to this place where we're at right now. That's why this place would be called holy. That's why those that came here, that lived here for a while, they couldn't stay here. Because number one, they didn't believe that this was a holy place. And they didn't believe in the truth being taught here, the sanctuary. They showed it by their actions, and that's the reason why they're not here today. Then Solomon offered burnt offerings unto the Yahweh on the altar of the Yahweh, which he had built before the porch. Even after a certain rate, every day offering according unto the commandments of Moses, on the Sabbath and on the new moons, and on the solemn feast, three times in the year, even in the feast of the unleavened bread, that's your Passover, 15th day of the first month, every year, and in the Feast of the Weeks, that's your Pentecost, and in the Feast of the Tabernacles, that's your Atonement. Those three annual feasts come once a year. And he appointed according to the order of the David his father, the courses of the priests, unto their service, and the Levites unto their charges, to praise and minister before the priests, as the duty of every day required. The porters also by their course at every gate, for so had David the man of Yahweh commanded. And they departed not from the commandment of the king unto the priests and Levites concerning any matter or concerning the treasures. Now all the work of Solomon was prepared unto the day of the foundation of the house of Yahweh, and until it was finished. So the house of Yahweh was perfected. Then went Solomon to Ezen-Geber and to Eloth at the seaside in the side of Edom. And Huram has sent him by the hands of his servants, ships and servants that had knowledge of the sea, and they went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir, and took thence 450 talents of gold, and brought them to King Solomon. Yeah, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 8. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, wherein Solomon had built the house of Yahweh and his own house, that the cities which Huram had restored to Solomon, Solomon built them and caused the children of Israel to dwell there. And Solomon went to Hamath-Zobah and prevailed against it. And he built Tadmor in the wilderness and all the store cities which he built in Hamath. Also he built Beth-Horon, the upper, and Beth-Horon, the nether, fenced cities with walls, gates, and bars. And Baalath, and all the store cities that Solomon had, and all the chariot cities, and the cities of the horsemen, and all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, and in Lebanon, and throughout all the land of his dominion. As for all the people that were left of the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which were not of Israel, but of their children, who were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel consumed not, them did Solomon make to pay tribute until this day. That the children of Israel did Solomon make no servants for his work, but they were men of war, and chief of his captains, and captains of his chariots and horsemen. And these were the chief of the king Solomon's officers, even 250 that bear rule over the people. And Solomon brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David unto the house that he had built for her, for he said, My wife shall not dwell in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy, whereunto the ark of Yahweh hath come. Ain't this amazing? Because he married a pagan heathen woman from Pharaoh, she could not live in any of the houses. I mean, Solomon married a heathen king, I mean a woman. She couldn't dwell and live in the house of David, king of Israel, because the places are holy, whereunto the ark of Yahweh hath come. Wherever the ark comes of Yahweh, that place is holy. Now, the ark of Yahweh has come here to this place where we're at right now. That's why this place would be called holy. That's why those that came here, that lived here for a while, they couldn't stay here. Because, number one, they didn't believe that this was a holy place. And they didn't believe in the truth being taught here of the sanctuary. They showed it by their actions, and that's the reason why they're not here today. Then Solomon offered burnt offerings unto the Yahweh on the altar of the Yahweh, which he had built before the porch. Even after a certain rate, every day offering according unto the commandments of Moses, on the Sabbath and on the new moons, and on the solemn feast, three times in the year, even in the feast of the unleavened bread, that's your Passover, 15th day of the first month, every year, and in the feast of the weeks, that's your Pentecost, and in the feast of the tabernacles, that's your atonement. Those three annual feasts come once a year. And he appointed according to the order of David his father, the courses of the priests, unto their service, and the Levites unto their charges, to praise and minister before the priests, as the duty of every day required, the porters also by their course at every gate, for so had David the man of Yahweh commanded. And they departed not from the commandment of the king unto the priests and Levites concerning any matter or concerning the treasures. Now all the work of Solomon was prepared unto the day of the foundation of the house of Yahweh, and until it was finished. So the house of Yahweh was perfected. Then went Solomon to Ezion Geber and to Eloth at the seaside in the side of Edom. And Huram sent him by the hands of his servants, ships and servants that had knowledge of the sea, and they went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir and took thence 450 talents of gold and brought them to King Solomon. Now let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and start right there. Actually, verse 4 tells us that, but he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law, in the book of the Moses. For the Yahweh commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the father, but every man shall die for his own sin. 2 Chronicles 25:4. So let's read the whole chapter. Start with verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established unto him, that he slew his servant that had killed the king his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law and the book of Moses, where the Yahweh commanded, saying, the father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the father, but every man shall die for his own sin. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of Yahweh unto him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for Yahweh is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. Yahweh shall make thee fall before the enemy, for Yahweh hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said unto the man of Yahweh, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given unto the army of Israel? And the man of Yahweh answered, Yahweh is able to give thee much more than this. And Amaziah separated them to wit the army that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in a great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of Salt, and smote of the children of Seir 10,000, and other 10,000 left alive, did the children of Judah carry away captive, and brought them unto the top of the rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they all were broken in pieces. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah, from Samaria even unto Beth Horon, and smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil. Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir, and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them, and burned incense unto them. Now you see why it says in the first verse of this chapter, it says Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, but not with a perfect heart. In other words, he subdued the enemies that Yahweh wanted him to subdue, all right. But as far as taking idolatry out of his heart and worshiping false gods, Yahweh would have done it, but Amaziah wanted it. He wanted to keep those false gods in his heart. So, let's see what happens to him. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 15. Wherefore the anger of the Yahweh was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? Well, Yahweh one day, when Brutus Johnson and I got together after the thief had broke into his house a few days before and stolen thousands of dollars out of his house, we got together and I said, I have information where the thief is at. And he said, well, let's go get him. So we went and took off to that place. But when we got there, the thief was gone. But on our journey there, Brother Johnson and his wife, they asked us, they said, we'd like to ask you, what do you think is... So we've asked everybody else in the church, so we'd like to ask you, what is your opinion about why we are losing our blessing? Because we're losing our blessing. Well, Lame had enough sense to know when her blessings were going out the window. And Brother Johnson had enough sense to know also. Well, after the day, before the day was over, Yahweh sent me an answer from heaven for them. And when I gave them the answer, in other words, I was telling them that they were bowing down to the gods of this world. They had turned back from following Yahshua, their Savior, and they were bowing down to the gods of Ekron. In essence, that's what the message was. And they rebelled against that answer. And they determined that I was lying when I said I got the message from heaven. So, therefore, they didn't have to believe what I told them. And so, let's see what happens to Amaziah now. In 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 16. And it came to pass as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that Yahweh hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Now this prophet is telling Amaziah, he said, now, I know that Yahweh hath determined to destroy thee. I knew that Yahweh had determined to destroy Gilead's center. When he gave me that message from heaven and told Willis Johnson, heaven says restore all divine institutions that she had once restored before, and especially the deity. And he said, well, no, we next do our deity, we get to the land. So what was he doing? He was telling Yahweh, because I was a true witness, giving him a message from heaven. And he was telling Yahweh, no, he says, we don't have to perform your deity until we get back into the land. It's just too inconvenient for us not right now, here in the wilderness of the people. We get into the land where we're free from underneath this government of the mark of the beast. When we get out from under this government, we get in our own government and have in our own land and have our own government, our own theocracy, church and state, where I am made ruler, complete ruler over the land. Then we'll see about doing the daily. So anyway, that's Brother Johnson's response. Well, let's see what Yahweh's response is through the prophet here. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, Come, let us see one another in the face. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, The official that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, Give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. Thou sayest, Lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle in thine hurt, that thou shouldest fall even thou and Judah with thee? But Amaziah would not hear,
For it came of the Yahweh that he might deliver them in the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. Now who did Brother Johnson seek after? Because he was had the position of antitypical Esau, now the firstborn. 1970, he assumed his duties and position, and accepted the commission that Yahweh gave him to teach my people my government and restore the sanctuary back to its rightful order with the daily intact from day one. That's what he told us, and Brother Johnson so proudly got up before the congregation. He said, Yahweh gave me this commission. And he told me one day, and he says, teach my people my government and restore all of the sanctuary system back to its rightful order. And he said, and I told God, he said, I told him I would do it. I'll do it. And so so the Heavenly Father opened up Brother Johnson's mind and gave him the understanding of how to put the sanctuary system into operation, put it back on true time, all the holy days at the right time. Nobody else in the history since last 2,000 years have had that truth. It was given to the disciples. They were put back on true time. The Savior put them back on true time when he came and called the disciples. He put them on true time if they weren't already on true time. But not since the disciples fell away have the world been on true time. Because the Pope Constantine saw to that when he started stripping away the true time at 321 A.D. at Council of Nicaea, and he took away the Sabbath and put the first day of the week in its place and called it the Sabbath that we shall observe from now on. Thought to change times and laws, Daniel 7:25. And ever since that time, ever since Constantine changed the Sabbath and took away the daily, it took 1,700 years. Took 1,700 years for Yahweh to raise up a man in the last days to restore the Sabbath, all the true holy days. Restore all the true holy days to the Sabbath and the daily. That was self-evident with the divine revelation that took place at Kermit, 1910. But Brother Johnson, filling into that antitypical position of antitypical Esau, the firstborn, and Elijah David, and myself, that's me, fell into the role of antitypical Jacob there in 1970. This is a prophecy right here. This is a prophecy for that very event. 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, verse 20. This is a prophecy for Brother Johnson in 1970. But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of Yahweh. This is a prophecy that applied to Brother Johnson in Gilead Center in 2002, when Yahweh sent me as that prophet that was sent to Amaziah. Well, I'm the prophet that was sent to Brother Johnson. But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of the Yahweh, that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So Joash, and who is the gods of Edom today? Edom is the Adventist Church. So who is the gods of Edom? All that pagan idolatry that the Adventists serves today. So Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah, king of Judah, at the Beth Shemesh, which belongeth unto Judah. And Judah was put to the worst before Israel, and they fled every man to his tent. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah. Amaziah now was sitting upon the throne of David, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoiada, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that was found in the house of Yahweh with Obed-Edom,
and the treasure of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Jehoash, king of Israel, 15 years. Now, the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the king of Judah and Israel? Now, at the time that Amaziah did turn away from following Yahweh, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. So what happened to this here Amaziah that didn't serve the Yahweh, as it says right here in chapter 25 of Second Chronicles, verse 1, Amaziah was 20, and verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Yahweh, but not with a perfect heart. Roberta Johnson did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh in 1970, but not with a perfect heart, because 32 years later, he proved out that he didn't do it with a perfect heart. It took 32 years to prove out that Roberta Johnson didn't restore Yahweh's government and teach it to Yahweh's people with a perfect heart. He proved that all through the years that he was the king of Judah, Roberta Johnson. He had the position of the king of Judah, sitting upon the throne of Edom, but he was presiding over his captive, Judah. And you can prove that right there in Amos chapter 9, the sinful kingdom. It talks all about this situation. Alright, now that's the end of 3 Chronicles chapter 25. Okay, that ends chapter 25. Let's fast forward now to chapter 29. It says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Yahweh, according unto all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Yahweh and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. Okay, and he and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of Yahweh Elohim your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of Yahweh Elohim, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of Yahweh, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the Elohim of Israel. Wherefore, the wrath of the Yahweh was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in the captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Yahweh has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. And the Levites arose, Mahath, the son of Amasiah, and Joel, the son of Azariah, of the sons of Kohathite, and of the sons of Merari, Kish, the son of Abdi, and Azariah, the son of Jahelel, and of the Gershonites, Joel, the son of Zimmah, and Eden, the son of Joash, and the sons of Elazaphan, Shimri, and Jael, and the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mattaniah, and of the sons of Heman, Jahiel, and Shimeah, and of the sons of Jeduthun, Shimei, and Uzziel. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came, according unto the commandment of the king, by the words of Yahweh, to cleanse the house of Yahweh. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of Yahweh to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of Yahweh into the court of the house of Yahweh, and the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day. Now what's the first day of the first month? That's the new moon Sabbath. That's the new moon. So they began on the first day of the first month, that would be Abib, to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Yahweh. So they sanctified the house of the Yahweh in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. So what's the 16th day? The 15th day of the first month is the Passover, is the unleavened bread day. That's a holy Sabbath day. So on the 16th day, they had a new moon. They celebrated the new moon Sabbath. And then 16 days later, the day after the Passover Sabbath, they ended the dedication for the sanctifying of the house of Yahweh. Then they went into Hezekiah, the king, and said, "We have cleansed all the house of Yahweh and the altar of the burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof, moreover all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of Yahweh." Then Hezekiah the king rose early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of Yahweh. Well, what do we call the house of David today? We call it the house of Yahweh. Okay. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he goats for a sin offering for the kingdom. What kingdom is this? The kingdom of David. And he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of Yahweh. Okay, so there you have it. House of Yahweh, kingdom of David. So they killed the bullocks, and priests received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, when they had killed the rams, they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They killed also the lambs, and they sprinkled the blood upon the altar. They brought forth the he-goats for the sin offering, the he-goats for the sin offering, before the king and the congregation, and they laid their hands upon them, and the priests killed them, and they made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. And he set the Levites in the house of Yahweh with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, according to the commandment of the David and of Gad the king's seer. And Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandment of the Yahweh by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the son of the Yahweh began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by the king David, of the David king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that was present with him bowed themselves in worship. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Yahweh with the words of the David. and of Asaph, the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. And Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Yahweh. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of Yahweh. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of the free heart burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, and a hundred rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering of Yahweh. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so that they could not slay all the burnt offering. Wherefore their brethren the Levites did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance with the fat of the peace offering, and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of Yahweh was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people that Yahweh had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. This brings in verse 10. This is our contact at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
Rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing. Their father died. Such them the petty from sin and their grave. Weep for the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them the blessed the mighty to say. Rescue the perishing, and for the dying. Yeshua is merciful, Yeshua the same. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the path in the child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Yeshua is merciful, Yeshua will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, pleadings not any good grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Yeshua is merciful, Yeshua will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for the labor the Yahweh provide. Look to the narrow way, patiently wend them. Build it for wanderer, say, yes, I. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Yeshua is merciful, Yeshua will save.